This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown's feature review. This week we are doing Velvet Buzzsaw from Netflix, y'all.
Indeed we are. Obviously, I am Paul.
I'm Wayne.
And this is the fifth or sixth of these we've done. We're still on Netflix because, well, it'd be lovely.
Fuck all out
of the
films.
It'd be really lovely if the cinematic releases would pick up their game for 2019. Next week, we will have a new cinematic release for you. More on that at the end of the episode. Last week, we did Polar, the Mads Mikkelsen Netflix film, which Wayne hated with a fiery passion.
That was a piece of shit.
And I thought was extremely average, and it seems that most people tended to agree.
Tend to shit, yes.
There was a few people that said thank you for the warning to get out of that.
Good.
For example, JM Junk said, my wife turned on for 5 minutes last night, so I'm going to take a massive piece of shit for $1,000, Alex, because I said two options. Either a massive piece of shit, or is this a genre-redefining winner?
It is not that.
Basically. And Tim Cormack said, the movie lets the Mads character down.
Very much so.
Probably a perfect sort of synopsis.
Good call.
Of the abs of the film. And Mike Seibert, good friend of the show, long-term listener, said, that's a bummer. Between Casino Royale and Hannibal, I've grown quite fond of Mads Mikkelsen and was kind of looking forward to this.
He's done some good work. This is just his Robert De Niro type.
Great review,
shit,
though. Yeah. Look, yeah, we obviously didn't follow our boat, but does Velvet Buzzsaw produce something different? The $21 million feature film from Dan Gilroy, the guy who brought us Nightcrawler about 4.5 years ago, and also starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Renee Russo, Toni Collette, Zoe Ashton, Tom Sturridge, Natalia Dyer, Dewey Diggs, Billy Magnussen, yeah, and John Malkovich. And look, Dan Gilroy wrote it as well. It is 113 minutes long, and Wayne, what is the buzzsaw about?
Well, Velvet Buzzsaw drops the audience into the absolute hellscape of Miami's art scene. It follows a prominent art critic, Morph Vanderwald, that's Jake Gyllenhaal, who attends art installations and every gallery owner wants to be his friend because his reviews can make or break an exhibit and an artist. He, along with other prominent art industry players like Renee Russo and some other people I don't recognize, come across this recently deceased artist's paintings and start selling them off at a huge price because they're amazing. The thing is, there's something weird about the paintings. They seem to be, well, evil or something. There's something going on
They're
here.
They're cursed.
And pretty soon some bad shit goes down, which seems to be punishing those who let greed get in the way of art.
That is it.
That's the movie. It's a slasher movie about killer paintings.
Yeah, sort of.
It's
two films,
sort of.
Actually, I would argue.
Absolutely.
And therein lies my biggest bugbear with Velvet Buzzsaw.
I see.
It is very tonally all over the shop.
It is tonally all over the shop. Now, I didn't know. I try to do this now. If in Netflix, you can do this. You can just walk into the movie and you don't know what it is about. You don't even have to see the trailer. I just knew it was some sort of thriller involving the art industry. So automatically, I'm interested.
Yeah, because you're an artist.
I like it. Yeah, I like to draw a little.
Did you know it was Dan Gilroy?
I actually think I'd heard previously that it was the Nightcrawler guy, which makes me think, holy shit, because Nightcrawler was awesome, right? Jake Gyllenhaal is good in this. I liked him very much.
I agree. I thought
he's
was
done
very
a good job of being like sort of, he's an odd character. You don't know necessarily even where his tastes lie. It's just he's, because I think that's the whole point. He's talking about how he's an art critic. His job is to take a side or make a decision or decide or whatever, let things in and out of his life. So obviously he has trouble making decisions now, right?
It's interesting. The first, let's say 50 minutes of the film, maybe even an hour of the film, it's very slow burn build up.
It's a slow burn build-up.
It's mostly, it's kind of, Gilroy himself has described the film as kind of Robert Altman set against the art scene when the thriller horror elements come into play. So it's not just following Jake Gyllenhaal's character.
No.
I would say there's three leads. There's him, there's the gallery owner, Renee Russo,
and
then there is the girl who works for her who finds these paintings. It's really the three of theirs film.
Yeah, I would agree.
In particular. And then there's the periphery characters around some of the other artists, some of the other gallery owners.
John Malkovich.
Yeah, for example. And yeah, like I was fine with all that. I guess none of them are good people. None of them. There is hard to find a sympathetic character amongst the bunch. Arguably, Jake Gyllenhaal's closest, but even then, the way he dumps his boyfriend
himself
and gets with someone else.
Yeah.
There's no consequences at all for that. And which is odd.
I imagine that's the point of this show, okay? This is, I think, supposed to be a satire on the art industry.
It's absolutely satire. Right? Yep.
So for me, I didn't know it was even a slasher film. I just knew it was in, like, it was some weird movie.
It must be very strange for you not knowing where it was going, because no, that's the only reason I was interested in it.
That made, well, that actually, me not knowing was what made me kind of more interested, but also bewildered, because, like, I'm sitting there watching the show going, I see this art installation and the people talking about art so pretentiously, and mm-hmm. this is worth $1 million, and then all sort of shit, right? It's like the height of the 1%, right? So I look at it and I go, I'm still finding this really interesting, because it's making quite a good comment on how people don't really know what art is and it's just a business now.
Yeah.
Right?
And I saw you last night and you were about halfway through the film, I think you said. That's right. You said, I'm really enjoying it.
I'm really enjoying it because I really, really liked it.
And what you missed was Patsy, my partner, turning to me with this face like, what the fuck?
Oh, really? She did not like it?
She didn't. And I'm very middling on this
film. Okay, because I'll tell you about this, all right? I liked it because I hadn't seen the bits that I had seen yet. I was probably a third through it.
Okay.
All right. I wasn't halfway through it. So I was doing this. I'm like watching it going, okay, I'm intrigued at the fact that they've, you know, the idea that, because it's really, to me, it was like The Big Short. It's about the business. And it's really interesting to me. Right?
It's very much a comment on how...
There's some content about the monetization of art. And
monetization of art, but also ruthless.
Yes.
How vindictive people are, how it's all about the egos, not just the artist's egos, it's the gallery owners. It's
pure
the,
perception.
It is the buyers, it's all of the above. Yes. And then, of course, the critic, which Jake Gyllenhaal plays Morph. And in some ways, I admired him being like, oh, I just do what I do. And if it destroys a career, it destroys a career. It's not my bad.
Yeah.
You know, and on the other hand,
his integrity.
On the other hand, it was like he was very callous and totally. Not caring. And
he'll do whatever he can to
fuck
get
you. Yeah. I am the king.
Totally, and so, that's it.
But as you said, he was very good. I thought all the cast were good. My biggest pro on this film is the cast as an ensemble together worked very, very well.
Fine.
No one stands out as a bad actor.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would also say though that when the I call it ghost shit. Happens, where I look at like
the technical term.
Yeah, there's like I didn't know there was a supernatural element to it at all. So when the
so was that surreal for you? I was like, was it as surreal for you as it was for the character?
Yes, because I was like, what the fuck is this?
That's really fascinating.
Yeah, and I was like, why is it doing that? And then all of a sudden, I started seeing these weird shit happen, and it's like it's not even a case where you can say, oh, maybe it's in their head. You are told as an audience this actual shit is happening. So now it becomes like a supernatural thriller, and I'm like, I really wasn't in the mood for that. I was like happy for this shit because I'm never in the mood for that shit. When it starts, like, you know, the paintings have the dude with the eye moving and the, you know, there's a weird cloud. It starts becoming a bit of a surreal type show, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And I would probably say that I kept forgetting it had a new supernatural element to it because I was like, oh, what's happening with this artist now? What's doing this? And then, oh, that's right. These are paintings with, you know, turning to shit. And then I would say my problem is that there's no real explanation because this movie just got
Correct.
Weird. It got weird
Correct.
All of a sudden.
Without giving anything away.
No.
Gilroy plays fast and loose with the supernatural threat in this film.
Because like, there's no rule.
There is no rules. Nothing's established.
You don't quite know. That's shit.
And I don't want to spoil. We'll wait for the spoilers. I'll hit the spoiler mark fairly shortly. But things develop in a way which is like, what?
Well, does this mean that or does it mean this? Yes. Exactly. And that's not satisfying.
I agree. So I 100% agree.
So I think the idea here is that the film is shiny and hollow just like some aspects of high art. Because it's a beautiful looking film. I actually think it looks quite nice. Like it's not like breathtaking, beautiful, but
it's okay. It's
aesthetically pleasing because the paintings and stuff. Like there's a few scenes where there's an image that you keep getting shown in like of one of these guys' pictures, or one of these guys' paintings, and at the very end, the shot of Rene Russo sitting down is that image, and I'm like, oh, that's a bit cool. I would like a lot more of that shit, a lot more of that fucking Paul Schrader looking shit, like where he does that. So that kind of stuff I did like about it. So aesthetically, I really like the movie. But it turned to it got weird and it wasn't satisfying at the end. That's what pissed me off.
Okay, that's fair. I'm not the artist that you are.
No, but you don't have to be.
I enjoyed the satire of poking fun at what I assume is Gilroy's version of the art industry.
Yeah,
and the type of characters who likely populate it. So, as someone who has no access to that from where I sit, I can only assume that there is an element of truth to what he's saying.
I mean, yeah, I only attend art galleries in Perth and a few overseas, but the pretentious wankers are all there.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? So, and it's hilarious.
So I did chuckle a bit for the first half. I knew what was coming. Unlike you, I'd watched the trailer. That's what I was there for.
Mm-hmm.
As a fan of horror, I can't even describe this film as a horror film.
I wouldn't
frightening enough. No. It's not bloodthirsty enough. It's at best, like you say, a supernatural thriller.
Mm.
And I wasn't happy with the results of sticking these two completely disparate genres together
I would
and hoping they
exactly.
work.
Exactly. I would have preferred a straight art slasher film. No fucking supernatural shit.
Yeah.
I would have preferred that, because now I can. Yeah, now
someone
I've got to
someone
hang on
from
to.
That dude's estate was
yeah,
running around.
It'd be like Basic
people.
Instinct. Fuck it. I mean, it would feel like that. Yeah. I would like that much better. So if it weren't for the supernatural thing, I'd like it a lot more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whereas I want. It almost becomes Final Destination-y
it's
in the last half
camp.
An hour where you're like, oh, how is this person going to die? Exactly. What's going to happen? What's going to happen with the art? And sometimes you can see it and sometimes you can't.
And the assistant girl, she has this habit of stumbling onto dead bodies, yeah. is really funny.
That also made me laugh a lot. So, look, overall, it was very middling on this film. It's the barest of passes for me, but it's not a good film. By my estimation,
no.
It's almost too ambitious. It's perfect fodder for Netflix to dump in late January, sort of, or 1st of February is when it was released.
Mm.
It's certainly, and there's a reason, it's in 1st of February and it's not being released at the end of this coming year or this year now, because there's no way this has any Oscar buzz or any consideration.
No way.
It's not that kind of film.
No, it won't be. And I can tell you that I think I have about 7 people I would recommend this movie to. And that's not because of the slasher part or anything. It's because of pretty much the first half hour, which I liked, is really enjoyable if you like that world.
Okay.
So that's about it.
All right. Well, let's get into spoilers then and determine just exactly where the film gets it right and goes wrong. Spoilers. All right. Free reign now.
All right. So,
as you said.
Yes, please.
There is no rule. So if initially, the art itself that was created by this guy who died, because his will said, or he said, I want all my paintings to be destroyed.
Right.
All my work to be destroyed.
And he was in the middle of doing it himself, but then he died or something.
Right. And then, as you said, it's people who are profiteering off, who are illicitly, illegally allowing their greed.
They found them and stole them. Yeah.
Who get targeted, seemingly, by the paintings.
Right.
But then a weird thing happens in the last 20 minutes of the film where the curse / supernatural element seems to infect all art.
Yes. He doesn't just...
Which I really hated.
I don't like that at all. And also, the point was made too late in the movie. So the idea is that he fucking... Because he paints with his own blood and shit like that. There's some horrible thing because he's some horrible guy. Or not horrible guy, but he did lots of bad things.
Yeah.
He was abused, all that sort of shit, right?
Traumatized.
So, but now... And I guess for the end of the movie, because the art world... is the art world, his paintings are now going to be distributed all around the world, and even to, like, in cheap, small, like, because at the end, he sold them for $5 and stuff. Does that mean he's now going to kill everyone that's near these paintings? And
I think that's the heavy implication, that now this stain is spreading through the world.
I mean, it's unclear whether Deez is killing the characters because they were using art for personal profit. It's possible the small amounts they're now being sold for could keep the buyers and sellers safe. Maybe. But you don't know, see? So that's why it's a bit shit.
Yeah. But the moment that, you know, so both Morph and Rene Russo's, I can't remember, Redactra.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
They realize, well, Morph gets it first. He's the one that realizes what's going on and tries to warn people. But then he is targeted by, you know, Hobo Man or whatever the hell that thing was called. And I'm like, but Hobo Man was nothing to do with
the
art.
And same with the girl. She walks into the gallery. And all the art on the wall just starts to fucking drip, but that's not his art.
It wasn't even a gallery. It was just graffiti. And
exactly, it just turned into a gallery. So this is a lot. I think ultimately there's some commentary here as well regarding the crash commercialism of art versus an outsider like Deez, who hoarded all of his work and still refuses to see it sold beyond the grave, despite his art being worth millions, so much so that he hates the people who do the millions thing.
Yeah, apparently it was based on some real artist. And then Gilroy was working on Superman Lives, and when that crashed and burned, and he just got, you know, jettisoned out the back door of Hollywood, so to speak.
Ah, he's the artist in this movie.
He was sitting on a beach and trying to make sense of it all and came up with the basic concept for this film, which apparently is reflected in the very final shot of the film, which is John Malkovich, who somehow survives this movie on a beach just twirling a stick through the sand and creating random art.
I think there's some aspect of proximity which affects whether people die. If you're near the art, you can get killed if you profited off it. This is what I'm thinking. He wasn't. He was on an island somewhere.
Yeah, but what was strange to me was he was not a nice guy. That's fine. He didn't need to die because he's not a nice guy. But almost like all the major characters... all die, and all the peripheral characters all live.
I'll tell you why he lived. He was an artist.
Yes.
It's only the commercializers that die.
Same with the African-American dude from Blindspotting.
The guy who directed this is pissed off. He's pissed off at the system. He's pissed off at the studios.
Yeah, you're right.
He's an artist that got fucked over, so fuck all the people who fucked me over. Yep. That's what this is.
Yeah, seems like it. That may well be a good interpretation.
Let's talk about you say the final shot with over the credits with John Malkovich, mm-hmm. right? What about the final shot of the fucking painting? There's a shot, they just close up on this painting, which seems to be this like idyllic kind of image of a sunset over a valley with a little girl dancing. And like, you know, shirtless boy builds a fire. I don't know if that's trying to symbolize him and his sister who might have died along with his mother because he set a fire to his dad. There's all this sort of other shit in there that I would like to know if there was, if maybe when this is out a bit further, I can read online because I'm not going to fucking think about it. like, you know, I like the idea of imagery being reflected because like, what's his name? Fincher does that a lot, but in a really artful way. This would be something interesting.
Yeah.
But it's ultimately, no, it's not. It's not. Like I said, there's seven people I can recommend this to. I do not think it got anywhere near the heights of Nightcrawler.
No.
Not even close, right?
In fact, the drop away in Gilroy's career after Nightcrawler, and he did one film with Denzel Washington, and Denzel was nominated for it, but kind of an out of left field nomination a couple of years back.
What is it?
Roman Esquire Jr.
I've heard of it.
Something like that. I haven't seen it, so I can't comment on the film. But this is such a step backwards, even though it's playing in the same sandbox. It's still a satirical look and an element of the media slash art that the common person, i.e. you and I, have no access to. So it's his very cynical take on it. And arguably this film is a much more cynical film than even Nightcrawler was.
I don't hate it necessarily. I don't think it's bad necessarily. No, I don't think it's good necessarily though either.
No, that's why I said I'm middling on it. I'm very middling.
What's your score?
Okay, so my final score I gave Pola a much higher than you, 52.
Yeah.
I'm giving this a 51.
Okay. I liked it visually, so I'm giving it 55.
Okay. So you are slightly higher.
Yeah, but it's not enough for me to sell it.
The most generous of passes, but
yeah,
it's not a good
barely
film.
Barely there.
It's not satisfying. It wants to be both things.
That's right. It is not enough of either.
Exactly.
Exactly what it is.
That's the problem, basically, in a nutshell, with Velvet Buzzsaw. All right. That is our review of Velvet Buzzsaw. What do we miss? What do we get right? Let us know on our social media, on Twitter, at the Countdown PC. Through email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, or indeed you can hit us up in our Facebook listener community. The link is in the show notes. Wayne, cool. Anything else today before we wrap up this Velvet Buzzsaw review?
No, because I'm looking forward to next week's cinematic release.
That's right, we're doing Cold Pursuit. Will be the next feature review with
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson in his typical released and around January, February.
Yep.
thriller actioneer slash, I believe this one's a bit more of a black comedy as well.
His cock gets the end credits. Go on.
We almost got through a serious episode.
Sorry.
We do apologize. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
We will catch you next Tuesday for the main app and next week for Cold Pursuit.
See you then, kids. I only want you for your money.